Greetings, everyone. This is Keith and Karina coming to you once again from the great state of Pennsylvania. We're going to continue on in our series of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and this will be part number 10. I think this is a record for us.
Yes, it is.
And we're going to talk today maybe about several of these gifts. You know, we'll see where the Lord leads us on this. We want to talk about the gift of faith and the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and we still want to talk about the discerning of spirits at some point in this series. So we don't know how much more we're going to do on these gifts of spirit, but we're going to just let the Lord lead us on what he wants us to say and do. Okay, so let's start out with the gift of faith. The gift of faith. It says here in 1 Corinthians 12, we're talking about the gifts of the spirit again. This is our base scriptural foundation for this text. It says here in verse number 8, let's start at verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is to given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretations of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Now, let me make a point here to say this, which is the obvious. Each one of these gifts are different than the others. Completely different. Sometimes there's some overlapping similarities or operations, but there are different in their operations as well. They can be different or they can be similar, but yet they are different gifts. So what I'm getting at here is, because it almost sounds like I'm contradicting myself by saying they're different, but yet they're similar. Like, for example, I was going to talk about the gift of faith, but we'll back up to the gift of the word of knowledge and the gift of the word of wisdom first. Let's give an example of this. What is the word of wisdom and what is the word of knowledge? The word of knowledge simply is a piece of information supernaturally given by God through his Holy Spirit of something that someone could not know naturally. Okay, let that sink in for a moment. A piece of knowledge, a piece of information given supernaturally by the Holy Spirit about something that someone wouldn't know otherwise. What is a word of wisdom? A word of wisdom is an instruction, a supernatural instruction to do something that may or may not be logical or make sense at all. But it's an instruction given by the Holy Spirit from God to do something. Now let's give an example. I'll give you an example of a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom combined in a case. Remember when Jesus instructed Peter to go down to the sea and cast his hook into the sea and said, when you bring out the first fish, you will find a coin in its mouth and you'll pay the tax for you and me. That was a combination of a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom. The word of knowledge was the information of what he would find, a fish with a coin in its mouth. The word of wisdom was the instruction to go do that. Now, how can we separate those two? Like, for example, I saw this gift of word of knowledge operate a lot from the 700 Club when I used to watch them. When I first started learning about the gifts of the Spirit, that was one of the avenues which God taught me about the gifts of the Spirit. You know, the word of knowledge was in operation where they would pray for people at the end of the program. And it would be either Pat Robertson or Ben Kinchlow, who was on the program at the time, or Terry Musin or somebody else, and they would say, while they were praying, they'd say, there's a woman named, I'm just giving an example, I'm making up something here, the woman named Susie, and you're wearing a green sweater, and God is healing your right shoulder right now. Right? They didn't give her an instruction, did they?
No.
They just related to her some information that her name was Susie, She had a green sweater on, and God was healing her. That was a word of knowledge. They did that quite often. And I'll tell you, I got a word of knowledge one day from the program. I had just, I don't remember if I was out of the military yet. I think I was. I think it was about a month or so after I got out of the military back in 92, end of the year. And I had injured my knee in weightlifting. You know, we had these Nautilus machines back in that day, but then there was something, they were changing out the machines or whatever, and so we had to use the other ones. They were more like a free weight type. And I was straining myself, pushing too hard, and I injured something in my knee, a ligament or something, because after that point, I couldn't run. We had PT, what they call physical training, right? Every morning or three times a week, we would have PT. We'd have to go out and we'd have to do exercises, calisthenics, and then we would run about 2 miles. And I couldn't run. I had to go to the doctor and get a medical profile that restricted me from being able to run because my knees hurt so bad I couldn't stand running.
Wow.
And so I had a medical profile on my knees, and that hindered me from being able to run. And I was watching their program one day, and Ben Kinchlow said, there was somebody who God is healing your knees, and you, I think he said something about you injured at weightlifting or something. I don't remember the exact words, but he spoke to me, and I felt a warmth go through my knees.
That's beautiful.
And it was healed instantly, and I said, well, I'm going to test this out.
Wow.
The next day, I went out and ran 3 miles.
Oh, my gosh. You were healed.
I was healed, and I haven't, lost it since, and that was many years ago.
Did you let them know? By any chance?
I never did call him. But if anybody's hearing it now and he's hearing it, praise God that God used a man of God like that,
God. And there's no way that he would have known that.
He wouldn't have known that.
It was just God, the Holy Spirit, a gift. Right.
And so that gift is a benefit to people.
Right.
And it can be used in so many different ways, not just for healing, mm-hmm. but for other things, when Peter went and got that coin out of that fish's mouth, they paid the tax. They didn't have the money. It wasn't like somebody would say, well, then why can't he just multiply the money? Like he multiplied the fish and the loaves. Well, I'm going to reiterate something I said in one of the previous podcasts. Jesus said in John chapter 5, he said, the Son can do nothing of himself. But what he sees the Father do, the Son does in likewise manner. He was led by the Holy Spirit. So whether the Holy Spirit moved on him to do, that's what he did. The Son only does what he sees the Father do. So I suspect some of those things he saw like in a vision. Right? Because I've heard of the preachers talk about having visions of a service they were going to conduct before the service. Ken Hagin talked about having a vision of the service the night before and saw who exactly was going to get healed.
That's wonderful.
What the person looked like, what they were wearing, and that God was going to heal that person in advance, a day before the service.
It just goes to show you that God dwells outside of time. He's already in our tomorrow. There's nothing new that God can learn. He's already there. Isn't that amazing? And what's so beautiful? By God's grace, I find that in the congregation, word of knowledge and word of wisdom abounds. We've had many, many occasions, mostly during worship. There is just this release of the gift and this manifestation of the gift. I remember one specific lady. I remember her particularly because it was kind of funny. The Lord said to her, in the same manner that you love to always clean out your refrigerator. Imagine that specific example. And she just bent over. She started laughing, crying, because she was saying, yes, that's me, that's me, that's me. And a couple of ladies around her, I think they were family members, they were like, oh my gosh, that's you, that's what you do. And then, of course, it didn't just stay there, But then the Lord said to her, the Spirit said, I'm going, no, specifically, just as you clean out your fridge and you take out items of your fridge. And of course, this was in Spanish. And then the Lord said, so I am going to begin to do with you. I will start removing things from your life. So that was so specific and so beautiful. And you know what? It was so tailored to her. Specifically to her, what she needed to hear, the way she would understand it. You know how the Lord would speak to us in ways that we specifically, individually, personally understand it. And that was great. I remember that day. It was just a manifestation galore of the gift of word of wisdom. And it was beautiful. So many people were enriched. Every person who received the word was enriched because, of course, God doesn't make mistakes. So the words were exactly what they needed to hear, even if they didn't know that they needed that word. When they heard it, they were enriched and prospered.
That's good, sweetheart. You got more examples of that you want to share?
Well, there's one more example.
Go ahead, baby.
There's a couple more, but there is one specific as well. This one was on a more of a sad tone, because this lady, the Lord, there was a vision actually, and in this case, the Lord used me, and He gave me a vision, just as you were saying, and I saw her as a little girl, and as a doll that she wanted so bad. And it was taken away from her, and she was demanded to work a lot. I'm not quite sure what was the scenario in her home, the family composition, but it was almost like she was like a little servant girl, and she had so much pain and sorrow. And so the Lord, the first thing He said, you know, I love you. And I don't recall specifically before this, but then He said, I saw you and that doll that you wanted so much. I cannot explain to you the sobbing that went on after that. And even as I say it, I get emotional because I remember just the emotions during that time. And it was just this cry. It was described, but it was this healing. It was a healing, and she was crying and sobbing. And then the Lord gave her a word of comfort, and He said to her what was going to happen. And she just needed to hear how much He loved her and that fatherly love, and He saw her. But that was in the past, and now things were going to get restored, and a healing process went on there. It was amazing. As a matter of fact, last Sunday, she has a whole new look. You can tell that she was healed, because before she would walk around with this sadness, just like this grief over her spirit, over her soul. And now on Sunday, I even said to her, thank you so much for all you do. You can just see she just has this skip to her walk, and she's just so happy, and she goes around picking up things and just cleaning, and you can just see the joy, and she loves being a part of the congregation, part of the family, and what God is doing in the midst of the congregation. But you know, that word brought healing to her. And there was no way that anybody would know her from back when she was a little girl. I'm talking about 5-6 years old. And that specific item, that doll, and I remember just seeing it and just giving her the word and what that meant to her and what it did and where she is today. So I'm saying this to revalidate, reconfirm, come in agreement, you know, all capital letters, with the fact that these gifts aren't needed, and they are to profit the brethren, and it strengthens us. And what can possibly go wrong with the manifestation of God's power among His children? It's love, and it's beautiful.
Amen, sweetheart. That is beautiful. You know, and I think, you know, while I was listening to you share that, God was kind of speaking to me too about, you know, the need of those gifts. You know, the world needs them as well, but the church also needs them. We
That's
need them.
Right.
And it's something about, like I said, how prophecy is, you know, that prophecy, you know, is not just about end time events, you know, of what's going to happen in the end in the book of Revelation, but it's to, you know, to speak into people's lives, something specific to them that God is saying. And that is something that shows people, I think, it really gets their attention that God knows them.
Right.
He cares about them because he singles them out. You know, he calls
That's
them out.
Right.
He doesn't make a general statement that just is applicable to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's something specific to them to show them that God sees and he cares and he loves them. And it makes a big difference when you know God loves me. I mean,
That's
we
right.
think about it in a natural sense of people. You know, that maybe, hey, when I remember churches I used to go to, and I thought to myself, wow, I really must arrive when the pastor knows my name. It makes you feel good when people know you, right?
Right.
They call you by name. How much more with the Lord?
Imagine that.
With God, when he calls you out through a prophetic word or a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom. Because oftentimes these gifts, like the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, go hand in hand with the gift of prophecy, you know, to prophesy. He says desire spiritual gifts, and especially that you may prophesy. Because, you know, what makes prophecy different in terms of individually applicable in a person's life from just simply a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom, they're often connected because when somebody's prophesying, they're foretelling something. You know, a word of knowledge doesn't necessarily foretell anything. It
That's
just says
true.
That God is telling me that your name is Susie and you're wearing a red or green sweater and God is going to heal you. So there's a foretelling in terms of what God is getting ready to do.
Yes,
or
true.
He's healing you now.
That's true.
You know, or you might say God is telling me to tell you he's called you to be a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Or he's called you to do this or to do that. So it's a foretelling in terms of their calling. And we see that in what Paul says here in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Let me get my glasses on real quick here. I want to read something. Now, I'm kind of a little bit going back to the gift of prophecy, but it's connected with the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom many times. And he says here in verse 6, he says, therefore I remind you, this is Paul talking to Timothy, his young protege. He said, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. To stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. And so when he tells Timothy and says, he reminds him to stir up the gift that was given through the laying on of hands. He said in the first epistle of Timothy, to Timothy, he says in 1 Timothy 4:14, he says, do not neglect that gift that's in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on the hands of the eldership.
Amen.
And so how this connects with the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom is prophecy often does connect with that because he proclaimed something that he was called to do or be. You know, we can say, well, we can see him listed as an apostle in one case, another place as an evangelist or what have you. You know, I don't want to go to, you know, look those up right now. But the point is that he was given a spiritual gift that was imparted through prophecy, and it contained a word of knowledge and or a word of wisdom.
Amen.
Of what he was called to do and to be. And he tells him to stir up that gift.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like I said, in 2 Timothy, I started there.
Mm-hmm.
In chapter 1, verse 7, it says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. And he's telling that because obviously it appears that fear is something maybe he's struggling with or potentially could be struggling with. And so sometimes that's the same with us, that God sometimes needs to come along and remind us of these things, but yet he told us from the beginning, you know, sometimes he's done it that way through a gift of a word of knowledge and a gift of prophecy. And you might say, well, that's all a person needs, but not necessarily. Sometimes they have to have somebody else come along and say, God is telling me to tell you.
That's true.
That he called you to be a pastor, and what are you waiting on? You know, because maybe they are, you know, afraid to step out, or maybe they, you know, started doubting and they needed confirmation or whatever it might be. You know, maybe it ain't about being a pastor. It could be about anything. You know, God is speaking to you to leave your job and move to California, or whatever you've been praying about. And he could send somebody else along to confirm that word through a prophetic word, a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom. And these are very beneficial to the body, because I find a lot of times it helps people move past stagnation when they get stuck or they're doubting and they're not able to move. And we talked about this earlier today during our little devotional time and breakfast, is how, you know, I said, you know, what is the thing that holds a person back the most, I think, you know, on the average? You know, what is it that the devil brings to people that hinders them the most? You know, in terms of, we talked about, you know, what strengthening does for us, you know, that by, we were talking about in a previous podcast about praying in tongues and interpretation of tongues and those things, and how praying in tongues edifies us. So we need to be edified. We need to be strengthened. And sometimes we need to be strengthened in different kinds of ways. And one of these ways may be somebody comes along and gives a prophetic word or a word of knowledge. And these words, a word of wisdom, helps people to be able to move in the direction God has them, for them to go, especially when they need that extra encouragement.
Amen.
And so, I mean, I'm feeling like God's got something for you to share here, sweetheart.
Well, as you were saying, what are some of the things that, you know, that could hinder us? Or why are so many, we're going to say so many Christians maybe not walking in the fullness of these gifts? And it is obvious that God has called us to walk in these gifts, not just to have them inside and know that they exist, but they should be manifest, right? That's the obvious thing. And that's what we're talking about, the manifestation about these gifts. And I'm just going to say it by because of the experience of what I've heard, and people have shared, you know, their testimonies and things that have hindered them. And it's usually a sense of guilt, of condemnation. I'm not qualified. Yes, I know the gifts exist. I see it in such and such. Oh, it's so beautiful. Oh, that would be nice, but no, not me. And as we were reading in Timothy, I came across here 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, where Paul says to him, to Timothy, that, you know, he was called, of course, by God, and he was called with a holy calling. I'm translating directly from Spanish, so I'm not sure how it states it in English. But I love this part, because it says, and this calling is not according to our works, but according to his purpose and the grace that was given to us in Jesus Christ before the beginning of times. So that's beautiful. And I believe that if we as children of God just break through these lies that the enemy throws our way, you're not qualified. No, you don't deserve this. No, God is not going to use you. How dare you even assume that God would give you something so amazing? You're not worthy. No, personally, we're not, but we are in Christ Jesus. And can you imagine if every single child of God walked in the fullness of who God has called them to be, and in the manifestation of these gifts, each one according to how the Holy Spirit gave it to each child of God, the world would be a different place. the world would be a different place. So may this echo in our hearts that it is not according to our works. It's not according to, once again, I definitely hear a little parenthesis. This is a beautiful thing. And when we desire something beautiful that the Lord has already paid for us, we have to make sure that we are doing everything on our end to walk in the ways that God wants us to walk. In other words, I guess what I'm saying, just in plain English, if we know that we are doing something just blatantly, we are just rebelling, we know there is something that God does not want us to do, live part of, participate, you know, just blatantly sin. I know God doesn't like this, but I don't care. I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to do it my way. We can't think that the manifestation of the power of these beautiful gifts are going to be ours. So as we desire, as you so nicely said it yesterday, as we pursue this, part of this pursue, of course, has to be with our relationship with the Lord. As we come into greater depth with Jesus Christ and we desire to be these vessels, we are going to see how it's going to naturally be a part of our walk, our Christian walk, and the way the Lord uses us. So all that to say, let's pursue it. Let's do what we need to do on our end to do things right and just be in agreement with the Word of God, be in a beautiful, intimate relationship with the Lord. As you read now that Paul said to Timothy, let's get this fire all fired up.
Stirred up.
Yeah, stirred up, so that we can actually be used by the Holy Spirit to honor God, but also be a blessing to the body of Christ and unbelievers too. Because as you said, when unbelievers see and hear a word of wisdom, and they say, wow, wait a minute, this is true power. So they see this miracle, they see the power of God in action, and many of them are touched by this when they are also part of the congregation or a word specifically is given to them. I remember years ago, I think I mentioned it before, years ago, I used to live in New York. I was on the subway, I was waiting for the train, and the Holy Spirit, no preparation. It's not like he told me the night before, listen, I'm going to give you a word. No. As I am there on the platform waiting for the train, there is a woman behind me, and I'll never forget. It was like the Holy Spirit just took over. And I went to this woman who I've never seen in my life, and I said to her, the Lord says, no more alcohol, no more alcohol. And she broke down. She broke down. I'll never forget that. And then he gave her another instruction. But how beautiful it was. And I truly believe that, hopefully, God willing, her life changed from there on. She wasn't expecting it, but God knew her and God gave her specifically what she needed to hear. I remember also another occasion, I think I also mentioned that on a prayer group in the house. Also, I lived in New York, and this gentleman visited. He was brought by another brethren. And as we were praying, I remember that the Lord said to him, you have to forgive your wife. And oh my gosh, the moment that word fell in his ears, he had a spiritual tantrum, is the best way I can say it. He was not happy because it was exactly the issue in his heart. He had come for prayer for other things that was happening in his life. And the Lord said, you need to forgive your wife. And he had a temper tantrum there and said, no. It was very intense. But it was obvious that it was the word that he needed to hear to heal, to truly heal, to expose, but to bring healing. So these gifts are a gift. These gifts are a gift. It doesn't make God any godder, right? Is that a word? A good word.
It is not any godder.
But it makes us better. It's for our profit, right? It's for our profit. So may we truly pursue these gifts. First of all, be grateful to the Lord. Handle them and see them with the value that they really have and pursue them. They are for us, but for the benefit of the brethren, the world, and for the glory of God.
Amen, sweet. That's brilliant. So we're going to conclude this broadcast here. And wow, I mean, this was really good. And we'll pick it up in the next one because there's still yet more to come.
Amen.
So go ahead, sweetheart, and take it away.
Amen. So we, of course, want to make the invitation, and it's not an invitation for something that you should even consider saying no. This is an invitation almost like you must have to. And what is it? We're asking you to give your heart to the Lord. Give your heart to Jesus. He died on the cross so that you can have eternal life. Not just so that you can live well, but that so that your sins may be forgiven. Why? Because you and I were born separated from the Lord. And you may say, I'm a good person. I've never killed anyone. But according to God's holiness and his standards, we can never, never make it equally to where he's at. So we all fall short the glory of God. And Jesus came and died on the cross so that you can have forgiveness of sins. Listen, there's only two options. Either Jesus pays for your sin or you have to pay for them yourself.
Wow, that's heavy.
And that's it, right? And there's no way that you can pay for them except with eternal death. Jesus paid for them and now he's offering you the payment that he made so that now you can have the benefit of that payment. But if Jesus doesn't pay for your sins, you have to pay for them. And the way that you pay for them is by being eternally separated from him, not in a nice place in hell. And that is not what God wants for you. He didn't make you so that you could live eternally without him. So give your heart to the Lord today, wherever you are. That's what you have to say. Jesus, I need you. Yes, I am a sinner. Yes, I do believe that you are the Son of God. Yes, I do believe that you died on the cross for me. I'll accept the gift that you are offering me, and I'm going to give you my heart.
Amen. That's all there is to it.
That's it.
So we want to say good night. God bless you, and hopefully we'll talk to you later.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.